Welcome back to What I Learned in History class this week. I'm your host, Abby, and today we are discussing civil rights and the factors contributing to the progression of freedoms among African Americans. It was known that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance because their actions were very limited and the realization of wanting a more fulfilled life grew as the decade of the 1960s approached. People like Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and the 9 students involved in the Little Rock integration of schooling greatly impacted the rise of movements and ideals through speeches, resilience, and actions. Their ability to rally a crowd and gain support for their cause was outstanding and allowed for many life-changing laws and the demolition of many unjust ideas. Segregation was the biggest obstacle African Americans were tackling during this time. Some of the transformative actions and groups created to end the unfairness provided by segregation included the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was later renamed the Student National Coordinating Committee, sit-ins, the Southern Leadership Conference, the Montgomery Bus Boycott, Brown v. Board of Education case, and many of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Anna. The 1960s were a critical period in history of civil rights in the United States. During this time, the struggle for racial equality and justice reached a boiling point as African Americans and their allies fought against institutionalized racism and segregation. The civil rights movement, led by prominent figures such as Martin Luther King Jr., sought to challenge discriminatory laws and practices, promote voting rights, and end racial violence. Through nonviolent protests, grassroots organizations, and legal challenges, the civil rights movement helped to bring about significant social and political changes in the country, paving the way for greater equality and inclusion.
The emergence of the civil rights movement came from the Brown v. Board of Education case. This case ordered that it was illegal to have segregated public schools in America. As this case order passed, Black Americans realized there was hope in changing the racism they faced daily. Following this case, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus after a long day at work, which ultimately led to her arrest. After word got out that she was facing jail time, the Montgomery bus boycott began. Many Blacks refused to take the bus, and within a decade, the Civil Rights Revolution had overturned the structure of legal segregation and regained the right to vote for Black Southerners. Rosa Parks' Small Brave Act created the mass phase of the civil rights movement in the South. A few years after this new beginning of fighting for the end of segregation, 9 students got selected to be the first teens to integrate a school in Little Rock. They faced much racism, but inspired many more schools, especially in the South, to begin the process of integration. Along with Rosa Parks and these 9 resilient students, one of the most prominent contributors to gaining justice for African Americans was Martin Luther King Jr., who was a speaker and leader for the majority of the programs and movements going on in the 60s. He was even involved in the Montgomery bus boycott. His confident voice encouraged people listening to fight not only for themselves, but for the future of America. With his influence, many organizations and groups were created, like the Student Nonviolent Coordinations Committee, which ordered sit-ins and prepared Black citizens for the violent behavior that might be received during those sit-ins. Another thing that came from the influence of King's stride for independence was freedom rides. Although he was not involved with these, people still joined in on the bus journeys challenging racial segregation in the South. MLK led many more pursuits during the civil rights movement. It was his life's work to rally the crowd of people following his movement. King fought for his rights up until the day he died in Memphis. The last function he led was the Poor People's March. He had hoped to bring thousands of demonstrators to Washington to demand increased anti-poverty efforts and included his final speech at this movement. His bravery and strength was shown through the time he was arrested and his assassination. When MLK died, his legacy did not die with him. The impact he left encouraged many others to continue to fight for their rights. Even those who were not directly affected, such as JFK and later on LBJ, these 2 presidents used their power to stand up and create new laws as a gesture to King's memory. Congress passed its last major civil rights law, which is known as the Opening House Act, which would which prohibited discrimination in the sale and rental of homes and apartments, which was the last matter King fought for before he died. However, without King's strong personality, these gestures were not strongly enforced and barely made a dent in the discriminatory acts happening against blacks in America.
Thank you, Abby. And now it's time for the summary of an in-depth article covering the 1960s. The article I chose to summarize is a section of the book From Sit-ins to CNCC, The Student Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s by Julia Aaron Wood. It's a comprehensive study of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, a prominent civil rights organization of the 1960s. Wood's book provides an in-depth analysis of the social and political context in which CNCC emerged, the organization's unique approach to activism, the experiences of individual CNCC activists, and the challenges they faced in a male-dominated movement. Wood begins her book by examining the social and political context in which CNCC emerged. She highlights the impact of the Montgomery bus boycott, the influence of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and the broader cultural and political currents of the time. Wood argues that CNCC was a product of this context and that the organization's unique approach to activism was shaped by its founders' experiences of racism and segregation in the South. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was founded in 1960 in the wake of student-led sit-ins at segregated lunch counters across the South and became the major channel of student participation in the civil rights movement. Because of their actions at the sit-ins, they became the forefront of this civil rights movement by employing various strategies and tactics to combat racial segregation and discrimination. SNCC then later became the Student National Coordinating Committee because they started to participate in protests that were not very passive. And SNCC organized sit-ins at segregated lunch counters, freedom rides to challenge segregation on interstate buses, and voter registration drives in the Deep South. They also played a pivotal role in organizing and participating in protests, marches, and demonstrations to demand equal rights to end segregation in public facilities. Wood wanted to make sure that there was an emphasis on public facilities that were being segregated at the time. SNCC's commitment to nonviolent direct action and civil disobedience often resulted in violent backlash from white supremacists and law enforcement. In addition to their activism in the South, SNCC also advocated for black self-determination, community organization, and grassroots leadership, promoting the concept of black power as a means of empowering black communities. SNCC's efforts had a lasting impact on the civil rights movement, contributing to significant social and political changes in the fight for racial equality in the United States.
How do you think MLK's Poor People March in Memphis showed a different King than what we saw back in 1955 with the Montgomery bus boycott? Or was it that different? King wrote a speech in regards to the Montgomery bus boycott and carried this tactic throughout many of his other movements, including the Poor People's March. While this is a similarity both share, he had a much bigger following during the Poor People's March in Memphis and was able to be more impactful later on. Martin Luther King Jr. began his first movement, Defiant Against Prejudice, and continued that into his very last at the Poor People's March. The major difference between these two was that Montgomery bus boycott focused on only the African Americans' rights, while the Poor People's March, he fought for the rights of all poor people, regardless of race. From this, it can be inferred that MLK grew his mindset throughout the journey of gaining rights and understood some of the unjust acts going on for a number of Americans. While this can be seen as true, his main focus was always to help his original cause of gaining civil rights for African Americans.
Mr. Sanders then questions if there are any parallels between groups like CNCC and groups that might be protesting policies today in 2023. For some background, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, CNCC, was a collegiate group of students that would conduct sit-ins and similar movements to protest for civil liberties of African Americans. I found that the American Civil Liberties Union was an organization that strived to defend and preserve the individual rights and liberties guaranteed to every person in the country by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. The two groups have played a pivotal role in advocating for civil rights and social justice in the United States. Many of the movements during the 1940s, 50s, and 60s are centered around the equalization for people of color. And today, there's still
a disturbance in the equilibrium between people of color and whites, which is what ACLU is for. Today, most of the issues are synonymous to those concerning job accessibility, pay rates, and gender equality, mostly like how it was back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. However, while both organizations share a commitment to protecting civil liberties and promoting equality, they differ in their methods and focus. CNCC was focused primarily on African Americans, while ACLU was focused on freedoms for those of any race. Furthermore, while both CNCC and ACLU have made a significant contributions to advancing civil rights in the United States, they differ in their approaches and areas of focus, with CNCC emphasizing grassroots activism and direct action, the ACLU utilized legal and political strategies. Thank you for joining us this week. Hope you come back next week to learn what else we've learned in history class.